2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 is our starting point today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 9 and read and study through the remainder of the chapter, which ends in verse 12. We will spend most of our time in verse 9 looking at what Paul says about a very important topic. Paul is telling these brethren and us what will happen when Jesus comes. First of all, he says that God will give Christians rest. And what a peaceful thought that is. We do obtain some rest here spiritually, but that rest in heaven will be perfect and it will never end. This is what Paul talks about in verse 7. He says, "And to you who are troubled, God, that is, will give rest with us." In Revelation 14, verse 13, the Bible says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." But God will also give the lost something in that day. God will give the lost tribulation in that day. In verse 6 he says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense, that is to repay tribulation to them that trouble you." What kind of tribulation? This is what Paul answers in verse 9. Verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is about payday. It is about reaping. Let's read it together. He says, "Concerning those who are lost," that is those that he describes in verse 8 as not knowing God and not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Notice that he says that these people will be punished. They will be punished for their own sins, not for Adam's sin, not for their parents' sin. They will be punished for their own sin. And so today, when people ask the question, will sinners indeed be punished in the hereafter? The answer is yes. How many of them will be punished? All. And notice that he says they will be punished with everlasting destruction. Notice the word everlasting. This means non-ending. And this is taught in many other verses in the Bible. For instance, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, to be cast into everlasting fire." Matthew 25, verse 41, is where Jesus said these words, "Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Many Bible students for hundreds of years have observed that the same word that describes life in this passage also describes the punishment of this verse. The same Greek word is used to modify, that is, to describe life, that is, eternal life, and punishment, that is, everlasting or eternal punishment. And so, to be consistent, if we're going to say that the life in heaven is eternal, we must say that the punishment in hell is eternal, because the same word describes both of these places. And then in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43, Jesus said in this vivid description of hell, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Notice that Jesus repeats this. He says this 3 times. And this means that the point is clear and that God wants us to understand this. This is why he repeats this point in this passage so many times. Hell is eternal. Then in the book of Jude, verse 7 beginning, Jude writes, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." We know that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was primarily the sin of homosexuality. The Bible refers to this as fornication, and homosexuality is a kind of fornication. They went after strange, that is, unauthorized flesh, and they are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then in verse 13, as Jude continues to talk about the false teachers especially that were troubling the church in the first century, he says in verse 13, "They are like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And with those verses in mind, let's stop and consider a few facts about hell. First of all, Jesus preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. Next, as these verses show, hell is not temporary. It is eternal. Next, eternal punishment in hell is not unfair. It is just punishment for sin. This is what Paul emphasizes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, when he says, "Seeing it is a righteous," and that means just, "thing with God to repay tribulation to them that trouble you," that is, the tribulation of hell itself. Next, the Bible, in many places, tells us who will be in hell. For instance, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 beginning, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Then, in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, Paul said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Next, let us remember that God made hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 is where Jesus said that everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Next, let us remember that God expects preachers to preach on hell, and those who do not are not preaching the whole counsel of God. And let us also remember that avoiding hell is not the only thing that should motivate us to do right, but it should be one motive. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Does the Bible teach that we ought to obey God because we love him? Yes. But the same Bible teaches us that we ought to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew 10, verse 28. Notice the word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, destruction. The Bible says that they shall be punished with everlasting destruction. One commentary on this passage by W.E. Vine and C.F. Hogg has some interesting statements about this expression, everlasting destruction. These writers say that the use of the Greek word for everlasting here shows that the punishment with which the passage is concerned is not temporary, but final. And accordingly, the phraseology throughout shows that its purpose is not remedial, but retributive. And that last statement is true and very important. These writers say that the purpose of hell is not remedial. That is, the purpose of hell is not to reform sinners who are there. Some people have the idea that hell is a place where sinners go for a time to be reformed, so that they will change their heart, and then God will take them to heaven. This is not taught in the Bible. The Bible teaches that once a person is there, he will be there for all of eternity, because the purpose of this punishment in hell is not to reform a person, it is to repay that person. This is what the whole context of 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10 is about. It is about retribution. These writers also observe about the word destruction in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, that the word itself does not mean an end to a person's existence. They say this word, like its synonyms, also translated destroy, destruction, means not the destruction of being, but of well-being, not annihilation, the putting an end to the existence of a person or thing, but its ruin so far as the purpose of its existence is concerned. So when we see the word destruction here, we shouldn't think of a material thing that ceases to exist. We ought to see the word destruction as meaning the ruin and the torment of that person. When we look at the Bible, sometimes we see the word create or creation, and we understand that when the Bible says that any man who is in Christ is a new creature or a creation, that is not the beginning of his existence, it is the change of his state. It is a new state, not the beginning of his existence. And in the same way, the word destruction does not refer to the end of a person's existence, but a change in his state. So the Bible definitely does teach everlasting punishment in hell. This will come from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And notice in verse 10, the timing of this event, that is, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So the righteous will be rewarded and the wicked will be punished at the same last day, the day of judgment. Paul goes on to say, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ."